Now it's on to gin. And I think an interesting, more interesting topic it is, meaning spirits. Gin is a very, it's a common belief to believe in spirits in the Muslim world, certainly was where I was in Pakistan. But it seemed to be a subject that sometimes the Muslims and the Christians too would be sort of would joke about. In other words, I think they were a little bit afraid and embarrassed about the topic. One of the expressions was to be hit by a jinn, struck by a jinn, as if the person was a little bit, you know, crazy or off his rocker. It's interesting to think about how Muslims, talk about it or don't talk about this topic, jinn and similar spirits, and how sometimes they avoid it. Several years ago, when I was, in fact, quite a few years ago now, when I was doing my PhD in California, I was invited to speak at a mosque, where a famous mosque in the southern part of California, near not too far from Los Angeles, and it was not a debate, but it was a discussion, and the imam there was going to tell why he was a Muslim, and I was to speak on the topic of why I was a Christian. And students from a Bible college came down from the north, and they were there in the audience. I don't know if any were Muslims were there or not, besides, there might have been a few Muslims there, I don't know, besides the imam. I spoke first on why I'm a Christian, and then he spoke. A very educated fellow, a doctor, and in fact, two brothers there that run that mosque are both medical doctors, I believe, and have written about Islam. One of them, I think, a book is The Mindset of Muslims. But I remember that after we spoke, and by the way, my article, Why I'm a Christian, is still in print. You can Google it, Warren Larson, Why I'm a Christian. And I gave three reasons, because of who God is, because of who Jesus is, and because of who I am. And it's on the website, www.warrenlarson.com. And a couple of days ago, a Muslim or two found that article and he wasn't very happy with it. He said, you know, you really haven't read the Quran, and I bet you haven't read the Bible either. So I haven't responded to him yet, but I probably will, and do it as graciously as I can. In fact, tell him that I do read the Bible once a year. But what I was going to say is that in the Q&A time, after we had spoken, both of us had spoke, I presented my paper and he had spoken too. One of the students said to him, sir, I just wanted to ask, a little bit off the topic, what about jinn in Islam? What about it? What about jinn? And he did this. He just sort of shook his hand and shook it like this, which I'm still puzzled that he would do that. Either he was saying that he didn't want to talk about it because it didn't, it wasn't the Islam, the orthodox thing to do, or he had a lapse of memory. But the fact is that as we know that jinn is very much part of Islam, and in one chapter in the Quran, 72, is called al-jinn, the jinn. And in fact, I think it's fair to say that in Islam, in the Quran, al-jinn, the topic is much more prominent, the devils and spirits and stuff like that, than it is in Christianity when you look at the Bible. One of my students several years ago, when he took this course, he's now a missionary in Europe, and he said, out of curiosity, he wrote, I did a word search on BibleGateway.com to compare the number of times evil spirits the devil and Satan are mentioned in the Bible, versus Ataluz, Ataluz, this is a Muslim writer, summary of the Quran. So this Ata'ula does a summary of the Quran. The Bible, NIV, has 44 references of evil spirit and 14 to evil spirits, compared to 33 and 26 respectively in the Quran. It refers to Satan 47 times and the devil 35 times, compared to 65 in Satan 17 respectively in the Quran. It strikes me, now this is the important thing, that the numbers are very similar in spite of the fact the Quran being significantly shorter than the Bible. However, I must note that all but 23 of the total references in the Bible are in the New Testament. In any event, it is evident how prominent of a role the jinn is assumed in Muhammad's revelation. And he refers to one verse in particular, 7 and 179. He says the reference to the jinn and men destined for hell, who have hearts that do not understand, eyes that do not see, ears that do not hear, reminded me, he said, of Matthew 13, verses 14 through 16, when Jesus quoted Isaiah 6. He says, again, I have to wonder how much Muhammad was borrowing from Christianity in his religion. And then he goes on and talks about some of the things we've been talking about in this course, you know, and washing your nose out and mentioning Allah's name repeatedly to drive away Satan, warning a snake three times, standing shoulder to shoulder prevents Satan from getting in between, covering utensils, tying water skins and closing doors at night, Satan circulating in the blood, no eating with the left hand, and so on. So that is was an interesting, I think, thing that happened. So I've already mentioned the fact that you do have jinn in the Quran. Lots of it is there. And we need to keep in mind that there is a variety of jinn in Islam, or this folk stuff. There is the div, who is a demon. You have afrit, who's a female div, a ghaul, a pari, which is a fairy. Dogs in solid color are generally understood to be the jinn. In other words, black, all white, or something like that. Spotted could be those expelled from the jinn tribe. Note, too, interestingly enough, the jinn can be good or bad. They can be good or bad. They can be Muslim or they can be infidel. A Shiite jinn in Iran is holy, and everyone in Iran has a twin. This is another word for Karina that we'll talk about a little bit more in the future. But another word for it is Hamzad, Ham meaning the same. You know, the same. Jinn, according to the Quran, are free from smoke. They're created free from smoke. So this is 55 and verse 15. And he, it says, created jinns from fire free of smoke. Now we'll look at some other verses as well as we go along here. But before Islam, Arabs held orthodox, held old beliefs. I'm sorry, they held, you know, pagan beliefs. And here's a verse here that we'll be looking at in a minute, particularly because of Ali's commentary. But jinn are thick in pre-Islam. And kissing the black stone, some of the stuff in animistic influence, interestingly enough, whistling is sometimes thought to be calling the jinn. This is what Zwemer, one of the points Zwemer makes. I myself like to whistle, but I realized that it wasn't always the thing to do in Pakistan, so I had to cut down on it, because especially when you know, the Muslims had some suspicions about you whistling, so I decided not to do very much of that. Here is the context of Surahs 113 and 114. I think I mentioned before that I was going to talk about that. This is an interesting context of how these two suttas came to be. These are very short suttas. They're the end of the Quran. And here's what happened. According to the hadith, that somebody induced to make a charm against Muhammad. In other words, they sort of put a curse on Muhammad. And Muhammad got sick. And so he has a dream. And in his dream, he hears two angels discussing that a curse has been put on him. So, what does he do? He empties the well that he had there, his own well, and then came these verses 113 and 114. There are very few. I mean, it's one. It's five in 113 and five, and I think six in 114. Say, I seek refuge with the Lord of the Dawn from the mischief of created things, from the mischief of darkness as it overspreads, from the mischief of those who practice secret arts, and from the mischief of the curious one as he practices enmity. And in 114, I seek refuge with the Lord and cherisher of mankind, the king or ruler of mankind, the god or judge of mankind, from the mischief of the whisperer of evil who withdraws after his whispers, the same who whispers into the hearts of mankind among jinns and among men. Those two suttas are used very much in dealing with evil spirits and curses and stuff like that. Well, how does High Islam, if this is such thing, deal with this? Well, High Islam basically embraces it. And I wanted to read this verse to you, and it's 6 and 100 in the Quran, 6 and 100. I hope that you are able to follow in the Quran. It's true that we are, making these references quite quickly, but it says that in the Quran 6 and 100, yet they make the jinns equal with Allah, though Allah did create the jinns. That's what it says. And they falsely, having no knowledge, attribute to him sons and daughters. Praise and glory be to him, for he is above all of that. In other words, what they attribute to him. Wanted to read the commentary here too. Jinns, that's 929 in Yusuf Ali, commentary note. Who are they? In 1850, that's chapter 18, verse 50, we are told that Iblis was one of the jinns, suggested that was why he disobeyed the command of Allah. See, in the Bible, he wasn't a jinn in the beginning. He was an angel. But in the passage, another similar passage, we are told that Allah commanded the angels to bow down to Adam, and they obeyed except Iblis. That implies that Iblis had been one of the company of the angels. In many passages, jinns and men are spoken of together. Man is stated to have been created from clay, and jinns from a flame of fire. So, yes, I do not want to be dogmatic, he says, but I think from a collation and study of the Quranic passage that the meaning simply is a spirit, or an invisible or hidden force. In folklore stories and romances like the Arabian Nights, they became personified into fantastic forms, but with them we are not concerned. Both the Quran and the Hadith describe the jinn in a definite species of living beings. They are created out of fire and are like man. They may believe, listen to this, or disbelieve, accept or reject guidance. The authoritative Islamic texts show that they are not merely a hidden force or spirit. They are personalized beings who enjoy a certain amount of free will and thus will to be called to account. All right, that's 6 and 100. Now, I wanted to ask you something. I wanted to read something here that is in 37 and verse 158. 37 and 158. Here's what it says. And they have invented a blood relationship between him and the jinns. But the jinns know quite well that they have indeed to appear before his judgment seat. Well, that's quite a verse, isn't it? They have invented a blood relationship. You know that the question that I really wanted to ask here is really, I think we'll get to it in a minute, it has to do with this last part here. But let's just read a little bit ahead of time too here. In high Islam, the fact that jinn can be good or bad, and God says, or the Quran says, that he will fill hell with men and jinn. Another verse here that's quite interesting is 46:29, and that is that jinn listen to the Quran, some jinn. Muhammad is preaching away, and preaching in the sense of reciting the Quran, and it says that the jinn gathered around and they listened to it. I want to close with this question here, it sort of comes up from what we just read here a couple of minutes ago from 6:137-158, they have invented a blood relationship between him and the jinns. And it sort of strikes me that when we speak of Son of God, that Muslims are totally misunderstanding what we're talking about. And, I think, are conjuring up all kinds of thoughts of God having a wife, or perhaps back to pre-Islam days of paganism, where, the belief is that people can, procreate, jinn will procreate. And so when you say Son of God, they are thinking all kinds of evil things that we do not believe by the term. And I think that's one of the reasons why Muslims are so upset by the term Son of God, that some Muslims would say that you're cursed and you're damned to hell when you mention the Son of God. So what a challenge we have to explain to Muslims that this is not what we mean at all. But I just wanted to point out to you too that it is folk Islam, but in high Islam, somehow the in high Islam, Orthodox Islam, they do live with it and admit the activity of these jinn, and as Ibn Sina said, only God knows. There is some indication that they get some of this stuff from Jewish mythology. There is this this Lilith here, this word that is a female demon of night. Amulets are used to protect. And they have the idea there too that one is united. That you have this united one that was born the same time as we were. So what I'm saying is that the idea of a familiar spirit is not unique to Islam. There is also the term incubus, which is a spirit demon in medieval times who lie in a sleeping person for sexual purposes. But in pre-Islam, Egypt, Arabia, Sudan, there is this idea too of a ka, or sometimes even among the Copts, a ko, a double person who moves freely and unites with the body at will. As I've been suggesting, it sounds like that the jinn procreate. And, that's paganism. That is really pre-Islam. But Muhammad never changes his mind. His worldview is not changed. It is not affected through this Islam stuff. In other words, he's really animistic at heart when you think about it. More about high Islam, Al-Badawi, and Maududi too, they also believe in the Karina, a lifetime mate who goes to hell at judgment, tries to ruin a person. God saves the believer, but it's a blessing to see one's Karina in hell. Al-Tabri, the king of the commentaries, says that Karina is everyone's personal devil. Aisha said, that's Muhammad's favorite wife, and his sparky, feisty little wife, says that the devil is with all, including Muhammad. In the Hadith, Ibn Hanbal, Muhammad's Karina only did good. Tradition says Muhammad said he's superior to Adam in two ways. His devil, that Karina, became a Muslim, and his wives helped him, while Adam's devil remained infant, and his wife misled him, according to Zwemer in his book, The Influence of Animism, page 112. They procreate. Iblis is a hermaphrodite. He lays eggs out of each comes 70 male, female devils. So we've talked a lot about high Islam and low Islam. High Islam, Al-Ghazali writes in the revival, revival of the religious sciences, he who forgets the name of God for even an instant has for that moment no mate but Satan. For God said, whoever turns from remembrance of me, remembrance of the merciful, we shall chain a devil to him who will be his Karina. And this verse I wanted to read here is 43 and verse 36. It says, if anyone withdraws himself from remembrance, and this is basically what the Quran says, of Allah most gracious, we appoint for him an evil one to be an intimate companion to him. And that is the word Karina.